Comedy of Broadway and Lexington Green welcomes club favorite and comedy veteran Henry Cho October 8th through the 10th. Then catch the Queen of Southern Sass, Etta Mae, for two big weeks, October 15th through the 24th. And don't miss the clean and always hilarious humor of Jeff Allen, October 29th through the 31st. For Comedy of Broadway showtimes and tickets, call 859-271-JOKE or visit comedyofbroadway.com.
It's Kentucky Sports Radio on Talk Radio 1080. Now, here's Matt Jones.
Welcome, everyone. Kentucky Sports Radio, Wednesday, October the 14th. I am Matt Jones on an absolutely gorgeous day here in Lexington, Kentucky. Couldn't ask for a better day. A little cold, but otherwise perfect. I'm sitting here with Ryan Lemon and Drew Franklin at the Kentucky Sports Bar and Grill. You might have heard of it. And we are here where you can come by, have lunch, and see us. Well, you can see us. You can't hear us, but you can see us. But nevertheless, we are here. And how are you doing, Ryan?
Doing well. Yeah, it was a little nippy this morning at first, but now the sun's out and it's awesome outside.
That's right. This is you can give us a shout, 502-571-1080 on the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line. The A-Vision Glass text machine is 772-774-5254, and this edition is sponsored by the T.J. Smith Law Office. You call T.J., he'll make them pay. Drew Franklin is decked out in Braves gear top to bottom, and we were here last night. We'll talk about this later, along with a pretty good, almost a full house last night of folks here watching the Titans game, and your Braves are up 2-0, your Titans won, you got to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, 2020's been rough on everyone, and last night was my happy place. I finally found it. With both teams playing so well, the Titans shutting everyone up after we had to listen to these stupid Corona jokes for 2 weeks.
I'm going to keep them up.
Just a great night to be a Braves and Titans fans. Two teams that didn't win often before here recently.
Well, very exciting, and we'll talk about some of that. But, you know, there's some breaking news, Ryan.
Uh-oh. You have breaking news music?
Do we have breaking news music, Shannon?
No, you always ask me that, and I never have it.
Well, we need to get some. Maybe just whining.
See, I like that better than anything I could find.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. You can use this, and we'll use this in the future. Whining.
Okay, that's the new drop. Whining is the worst. What does that even mean? You
want to
do
another
take? You want to do a second take?
All right. That was a good audition. Now let's do the real
okay.
thing.
Okay. Wani na
na. Ryan's not laughing.
Yeah, you got to stop laughing.
I can't help
it. We need an isolated take.
Okay.
Wait,
stop.
Take off your headset.
Yes.
I can't. Take off your headset.
I can't look at you.
Take off your headset.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Wani na na.
I got it. All right.
There we go.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Now we got it.
Yeah.
Now, so Wani na na. Olivier Saar. It has some very good news for his potential eligibility.
Really?
Last night, the NCAA Division I Council has approved, and it will hopefully become law today, that all players playing in winter sports get an extra year of eligibility this year. That helps for Olivier Saar because that means he now has 2 years of eligibility, which would satisfy him under the SEC rule.
Nice.
So the SEC hasn't said this officially, but the rule under the SEC says you cannot come and play if you only have a year left.
True.
If the NCAA is giving these folks playing this year an extra year, that would give them two. And with 2 years, I think Olivier Saar will qualify under the SEC rule. So that's not – no one has said that officially. But, Drew, to me, if he would be able to play this year and next year, don't you think that satisfies the rule?
Yeah, right when you think you have the NCAA figured out, you're wrong. But I think on this one, it seems the only hiccup has been that two-year rule. So if he can play two more years, then I think that should check the box to push him on through to be eligible.
Do you think Bruce Pearl is in his bathroom just throwing stuff at the mirror and
well,
screaming?
Well, I mean, to me, it's an obvious thing. Right? Like, I mean, the rule is stupid. I guess the idea is they don't want people sort of doing the come in 1 year and get out of here thing.
Uh-huh.
But in basketball. But now, whatever you want, he can play here 2 years. Now, he won't. He's still only going to play here a year. But since he can, I don't know how they can say he's not eligible under the rule.
That's the rule. He could play here 2 years. So I don't know how they could deny him that, if that's the way the rules implied.
And Cal's been so confident in this.
You think that's what it is?
I think he might, in the back of his mind, has known that this would eventually
happen.
See,
again, it's funny. Like, I didn't consider that as the way it would happen. The idea that because of COVID, you get an extra year, and then I never would have considered that the way to get around it was that.
Yeah.
It would also explain what's taken so long, because that's not a rule yet. I mean, they couldn't officially come out and
say. Let me ask you a question, though. I mean, that rule about one-year eligibility, how did that not apply to Nate Sestina and Julius Mays?
It said something about if you played a certain amount of your season last year, and I think basketball, because they got everything
no,
in.
No. I'm saying the SEC rule.
Those are graduate transfers.
Oh, okay. So this guy was not a graduate transfer.
No, he was just transferred.
So you can come as a graduate transfer.
So Reed Travis, gotcha. Nate Sestina, those guys, even though they had 1 year of eligibility, they had already had a college degree, so they were able.
Gotcha. Well, so there you go. I feel like now my confidence, I mean, I was probably 70% confident that Sar was going to be eligible, but I feel like now I'm going up to like 90, 95.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you feel that good about it.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you?
You should.
And UK's using him in practices. Coach Cal, a few times we've heard him, he speaks like he's already part of the team. Uh-huh. I mean, they're moving forward like he is already
eligible.
He
was in the team photo?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right. He was in the official team photo.
That's all I remember.
Well, so was Ennis, though.
Yeah, I remember when Randolph Morris was going through all that, they took a team photo with him and a team photo without him.
That feels like a Tubby thing to do. Do one with him and without him. So that's our breaking news, and I feel very good about it. I feel like that's a very good positive for that kid getting eligible. Now,
is the drop ready? Can we hear it now as you close the
Shannon, I'm not doing anymore. Yeah, do you have the drop ready or no?
No, we'll get it for the second hour. Yeah.
We'll it was definitely worth the new drop music. That news was worthy.
Yes, I think so. Now, the second thing is, a source tells KSR.
Oh, we have more breaking news.
Well, this is not breaking. I get this last night. But a source tells KSR that the state of Kentucky is in the process of coming up with the what can the attendance be for indoor sports this year, including high school and college, but specifically college, because high schools are a different situation, specifically college, and that the working assumption that has been told to universities is for indoor sports this winter, 15% capacity. Schools will have the ability to ask for something else and explain how they can do it, but they are told as a baseline 15% capacity. At Rupp Arena, that would be like 3,300 or 3,200, something like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess at this point we got to be happy there's fans at all.
I have to tell you, I thought there was a scenario where it would be no fans at all indoors. But go ahead.
I thought maybe just support staff and maybe some family. So I think just the fact that they're considering 15%, I think that's a huge positive, to be honest.
I'm just wondering, I don't know if you all have driven by Rupp Arena lately. I don't know how they're going to put fans in there anyway to play basketball. It doesn't even look close.
Well, let me ask you this question. If you can only have 15%, why not play at Memorial?
Yeah.
Let me explain why. If you could get – what's the attendance right now at Memorial?
Is it, what, 8,000 maybe? I'm guessing.
Let's say it's 8,000. So that means you could get 1,300 or 1,400 in there. Now, that's half as many. But they'll make a lot of noise in Memorial. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be empty in Rupp. Just something to say. Now, they won't do that because they probably want every dollar they can get out of that Rupp Arena thing. But it's just something to think about in a year like this.
And I was going to say that. In a year like this year, one time, one game, like maybe even the Moorhead game or one of these games.
Play See, it, I would do it in the game where you need it to be the loudest.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Would you go to a game indoors?
I would love it. I'll talk about Memorial Coliseum.
No, at Rupp. If you know, we found out with football that honestly the 25% capacity was about how many people wanted to come.
True.
You know, it was almost exactly how many people wanted to come. For all the we should fill it, nobody's like 25% who's going.
That's about right.
So what do you think it'll be for basketball? Do you think – now, remember, that is an older attendance crowd. Do you think the demand for 15% will be there?
You know
– Well, so I'm asking is, would you go?
I would go.
You would go indoors?
I would go.
Okay. But you told me you wouldn't go outdoors. Weren't you the one that said you wouldn't go to the stadium?
Originally, I've totally flipped on it.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel as this goes on, I'm just more and more
back to your normal don't care self?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would go.
I mean, you know that will be much more dangerous than this football stadium would be.
Yep.
And you don't care.
No.
You're ridiculous. Drew, you'll probably have to go. I mean, you don't have to, but yeah. For the job, you know, you can. Would you? What's your thoughts on it?
I'm on the fence. I feel like 3,000 in Rupp Arena is pretty well spaced out. You know, I'm sure everybody'd have to leave a mask on. I wouldn't voluntarily just go on my own dime, you know, to go watch a non-conference game. But knowing I had to go for work or for a big game, I would do it.
What about you, Shannon?
Yeah, I would go. No problem at all.
It's funny because all you guys were opposite when it came to football. None of you wanted to go.
Yeah, I just think now we've all learned to wear our mask
and what else?
And they're going to check our temperatures before we come in and social distance.
I would go to the
football
game.
Don't shake hands and stay away from each other. I think we've all just learned how to live with it now, it just seems like.
Yeah. But what do you think the atmosphere will be like with 15% in there? Like, what's it going to be like?
I can tell you, having gone to football this past Saturday, it felt like a spring game. There's not a lot of energy in there. I can't imagine basketball. It felt like just looking at a practice, I would think.
I guess if you think of it as you go to one of these other games, like, I don't want to say another school, but another area school, when they have a game, when it's that many people there.
It's going to be like the last minute when Kentucky's up 50 points over one of these.
And everybody's already left.
Yes, that's what it's going to be like the entire game.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be like. You know, we talked about that in when you watch on TV, that I thought not having a crowd mattered the least for basketball. I was saying this on ESPN Radio. When all this started, here was my view on crowds. I thought I would miss the crowds the least in baseball, and I would miss them the most in basketball. It was the exact opposite. I actually have not missed the crowds in basketball almost at all. In baseball, I think not having the crowds has been a huge impact because part of it is, especially in the playoffs, the tension between pitches, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you look in the crowd and people are yelling and it's cold and everybody's wrapped up. And not having any of that, I think, has really shown. In the college football games, I haven't felt the crowd not being there has mattered a lot. Have you?
It's hard to say. Baseball
on TV. Yeah, I'm not saying about there.
It almost feels like you see the emptiness a lot more, too.
I think that's right.
You know, they're hitting foul balls into it. You get like a wide shot of the stadium, so you feel the emptiness a little bit more with football.
I don't know.
Or you watch Texas A&M where everyone's there.
I don't know what college basketball is going to be like. I think for it not to feel empty, they're going to have to pipe in noise and all that. Like the NBA did a great job of putting the virtual fans, and it felt like something was going on.
Yeah.
I think college is going to have to find a way to do something like that.
To do the same thing? You're right, because watching the NBA games in the bubble, I never got that feeling that the place was even empty at all.
Yeah.
I wonder if UK will try to do that.
But I think part of that is they were in a small gym.
Yeah.
You know, what happens when you're in a big gym?
Like at Rupp.
So, anyway, UK, as a source has told me, has not submitted any plan yet. So, we don't know yet.
Yeah. You'd think if you get 3,000 people at Rupp, there's going to be a little excitement. And if they pump in some crowd noise, would that compensate
we'll see.
It?
It would be interesting. I mean, this is going to be what it is, which is a weird year. But we'll see. I think a couple of the entities they will announce very soon have been approved. Like, you know, a couple other schools that have already done it.
So what you posted last night, the governor still has to approve. He has final
say.
From
what I understand, the schools have been told this is kind of the baseline. Create your plans around this. But they could create a plan that maybe lets them go up. We'll see.
Yeah.
So.
But the governor has final approval. He gets.
I think the governor's office does. I mean, I don't know if it's him personally, but the governor's office has final approval. 502-571-1080, A-Vision Glass Text Machine, 772-774-5254. We will take a break, and we will come back. We are here at KS Bar and Grill, bunch of goofballs. This is Kentucky Sports Radio.
To talk to Matt Jones and the crew, call the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line at 502-571-1080 or 1-877-904-1080 or send us the Kentucky branded KSR tweet of the day by tweeting Matt at KY Sports Radio.
Big Blue and you, Kentucky Sports Radio on Talk Radio 1080.
Welcome back, Kentucky Sports Radio, A-Vision Glass Text Machine, 772-774-5254. One person writes, Matt, how many people Or do you think it would be better if they did a game in Memorial, students only? If you're only going to have 1,000 people and you put all students, the Auburn game, when we went down there, it was all students, and I thought it was very loud.
Yeah, all the Kentucky fans that went down there, they talked about how the environment was cool, primarily, I think, because the Auburn students made it.
I think
it
if
cool.
you had a game in Memorial, made it all students, it'd be a great atmosphere, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely think it would. I just don't know if they do that because that's cutting out too many people that write the checks.
And the parking. There's a lot of things there that you would.
Although if it's students, you wouldn't have to park.
No, I'm saying you'd be cutting out the money they could make.
Oh, yeah. It all comes down to dollars.
Yeah.
And the in arena advertising. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, they're probably not going to do it, but if all you really cared about was the atmosphere, that's what you would do.
Yeah, definitely. Why not try it? Especially this year of all years, do it one time.
I mean, are they going to do any kind of a madness, anything at all? I mean, you could do something small there. I don't know.
I mean, I haven't talked about it at all. One person goes, Matt, are the suites ready at Rupp? I haven't heard. Are they?
Listen, if you all haven't seen Rupp Arena lately,
yeah.
Fans are going to have to wear hard hats to go to games this year. I don't know if there's any way they can have anything. I mean, it's just torn apart right now.
It's nothing but piles of steel and rubble down there now.
Only the lower level have the hard hats, or the upper level?
The upper level's on their own.
The upper level gets the hard hats.
Good, legit stuff.
That's why they gave them out last year. They knew they were behind schedule.
ShopKSR.com, Kentucky branded. I'm going to make that the tweet of the day with Shannon's comment. Go to ShopKSR.com, get your UK and your KSR gear. One person writes, Matt, did you see this morning Netflix released the trailer for Hillbilly Elegy, the movie they're doing on the book? Hey, I'm skeptical. I haven't even seen it. But when has there been a movie that captured Eastern Kentucky correctly and not in a patronizing way? Yeah. Coal Miner's Daughter, maybe,
an accurate
60 years
light
ago,
really
stars
exist.
Glenn Close and Amy Adams. I like Glenn Close and Amy Adams, but they ain't from the mountains. I mean, I hope it's good. Ron Howard's the director. I like Ron Howard. I'm skeptical.
Usually they poke fun at us and overemphasize every stereotype they can think of.
So I'm skeptical. I want it to be good. You know, I read that book. There's some things about the book I like. There's some things about the book I don't like. I think J.D. Vance, there's some things about him I like, some things I don't like. But I'm very skeptical of the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hollywood takes too many.
I mean, you take the liberties that people can take. And how many people believe that the folks that were involved in the making of that movie understand Eastern Kentucky?
No.
I mean, I don't. Now, I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to watch it, and I'll watch it with an open mind. But I will tell you, the trailer, the picture of the trailer has Amy Adams in overalls. So we're already off to a rip-roaring start.
Ron Howard grew up in a small town, though. He grew up in Mayberry. But, he should be able to appreciate Eastern Kentucky.
He did grow up in Mayberry. Yeah, that's a very good point. Sure. Mayberry was a really nice town.
Although I do think a lady can look very sexy wearing overalls.
That's not what we asked. See, again, that has nothing to do with the issue. This is not about who looks sexy. The question is it going to be an accurate depiction of Eastern Kentucky?
Probably
not. Go to the next call before he... Ryan walks the line on that issue as much. Like, I try to pull him back to the good side. Who's next?
Tori.
Tori. How are you, Tori?
Hey, so UK, the football Twitter, or no, the Instagram, posted, I guess, highlights from the LSU win that we had, like, back in 2007 or whatever it was.
Yes.
And I was at that game, and I was, like, 15 or 16. So I don't remember, like, specifics, but I didn't know that we missed the extra point in overtime.
Well, no, you had to go. Didn't we have to go? You had to go for two. So I think we had to go for two.
Oh, okay.
We had to go for two, and we didn't get it. So, yeah, we scored first in the third overtime, scored a touchdown, had to go for two, didn't get the two. So, I mean, we needed to stop them, but they would have had to score two as well. So it wasn't like the Ole Miss situation, for instance.
Oh, well, excuse my ignorance then. So my second point, I listened to 11 personnel on the way to work this morning, and they were talking about the receivers. And, man, outside of Josh Ali, who's not really having, like, a Randy Moss-type year or anything, there's nobody that we've got that can catch a ball. And I don't know that you can put Pat Mahomes back there and have him light it up. Like, I don't know what they expect of Terry.
Well, the catches are part of it, Torrey. You know, I appreciate the call. The catches are part of it, Ryan, but the not getting open, I think, is an even bigger issue. I mean, Akeem Hayes is the only other dude we've seen to consistently get open. The problem Akeem Hayes had is, you know, I didn't realize this till somebody told me. You know, Josh Ali had those two screens where he got blown up, remember? Yeah. One of which led to a fumble. Akeem Hayes missed the block on both of them.
Oh, no kidding.
So when you're asking yourself, why did he only play nine plays, which a lot of people, two of the plays, he let Josh Ali get blown up on a screen.
Well, that answers a lot of questions because everybody sees he's able to catch the ball, make some plays. Why is he getting the ball more?
And the thing about it is, whatever else you want to say, it is very clear that Eddie Grant and Mark Stoops value blocking Drew in the receivers because, you know, especially last year with Lynn Bowden, downfield blocking with our receivers was a huge strength, and I think they really value that.
And yeah, and Hayes already made a big play this year. He's kind of a home run hitter. He's probably one of the speediest receivers on the team, if not the fastest. But when it comes to blocking, he just doesn't have the size. I don't think he'll ever be a blocker. And in that last game, those receivers were getting each other killed. So you cannot put him
in. If I was Josh Ali, I would have been very upset at some folks. Because it's not Josh Ali. It's not even Terry's fault. Like, you know, those plays only work if those dudes get blocked.
And we've heard of them, you know, when Terry threw it away at Auburn. You know, we learned later that a receiver might have missed a block there.
Well, that's a great point. You know, the interception at Auburn, Stoops said the next day, he was like, Terry shouldn't have thrown it, but he didn't think there'd be a defensive back there because the receiver was not supposed to be there.
So we're learning there are more and more receiver errors that aren't just dropping the passes.
And maybe that's why, you know, Oliver, Daly, Cleveland Thomas, these guys, we going into the season, we thought we'd hear more and more. We've not heard of them. Maybe that's why they're making mistakes.
Well, Bryce's been hurt. Bryce's been out. Yeah. But some of the others, you may be right about that. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, listen, the receiving – you know, one of the hard things is you need to recruit top receivers. It's hard to recruit top receivers if they don't see you throw the ball, and it's hard to throw the ball if you don't have top receivers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a vicious cycle.
Maybe we're going to start to see Isaiah Cummings. You know, they keep saying, well, he's so good. Maybe it's time we see him. Give him a chance.
There's definitely opportunities with the way everyone's played so far.
It does feel like if a dude just, broke out. Well, the one kid that drops all the passes clearly gets open.
Yeah.
He just drops them all.
The Harris kid?
Yeah. We'll take a break. Come back. Our number two is KSR.
But there's nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hat.
If it's in Kentucky, it's on Kentucky Sports Radio on Talk Radio 1080.
Yeah, somebody just sent me pictures of Rupp Arena right now. How are they going to have a game there in 6 weeks?
I drove through there just the other day to look at it, and I thought there's no way you can have people come watch a basketball game here. It's maybe even play a basketball game there.
Well, maybe they're going to play at Memorial, and we don't even know.
I mean, the Rupp Arena section is still intact, but all around the outside,
but part of the Rupp
is
Arena section
destroyed.
Is not either. I mean, like, I don't know about inside the court, but like the sort of bar thing they were going to build, that's not even close to done.
You can't send 3,000 people through a live construction site to go watch a basketball game.
Yeah, in between the hotel and Rupp Arena, that whole Civic Center area, gone. And then all in the back, gone. It's just a disaster construction zone.
Yeah, 502-571-1080. One person writes, Matt, you guys got to talk about Kanye. What about Kanye?
It sounded like he won an election in Kentucky last night.
So do you know this story, Shannon, about Kanye?
No.
So Kanye last night, so WLEX 18 put on their website, they were testing out what their election night coverage is going to look like. And so they put on a website totals from election night. And they intentionally, so as not to confuse people, made it to where, like, the secondary candidates got all the votes and Trump and Biden didn't, right? So they'd be like, Joe Jorgensen, 600,000, you know, Kanye West, 400,000, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, 2,000. Because they wanted to make sure that nobody thought this is real. Kanye West thought it was real, Shannon. He retweeted it with, like, those eyeballs, like, look at this, and then retweeted it again and said, thank you, Kentucky.
Wow.
I think Kanye thought those were the real results.
I think there is no doubt in my mind he thought it was real.
How?
And that guy was running for president?
How could he look at that and think that Biden and Trump were in fourth and fifth?
People in Kentucky love their Kanye.
I mean,
there's no doubt he thought it was real.
Clearly he thought it was real.
Yeah.
But, like, how did he think that, Drew? Like, how could you look at that and go, well, look at me. First of all, does he think that's how the presidential race works? Like, they give you daily updates on who's winning?
Maybe in Kentucky he thought they did.
I just couldn't believe Kanye has like 30-something million followers, and he just tweeted like the LAX18 logo because it was at the link, and that's all that was. It's like, this is so ridiculous that that news station is on Kanye's Twitter feed right now.
I think in his mind he thought, look at this, Kentucky probably doing something different. They sent out the election results that they've come in already, and I'm winning.
Well, he was in third. That's the other thing, is he was in third.
Yeah.
Did he delete the
tweet? Told him yet, or is he still excited? Yeah.
I don't know. But like last night, LAX had to retweet and be like, look, this was just a test.
Uh-huh.
You're not winning, Kanye. Thank you.
Sorry, though.
Do you feel sorry for him, Shannon? Because he had to look at that and be like, oh, this presidential thing's going well.
No, yeah. I don't feel sorry for him at all. It's still up there, by the way. He's got the retweet up there still on his feed.
I know.
Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's on his way to Kentucky.
He is.
He's coming to have his victory speech.
Yeah, I got to come and make a few campaign stuff.
Here's my thing. I'm with you, Shannon, about it. He wants to be president.
Yeah.
If you're going to have the basic sense to be president, and I know that's changed over the years what that means, but you have to know that Biden and Trump would not be in fourth and fifth.
Not in his mind. Hey,
you're Kanye. That's right.
He lives in an alternate reality.
I bet you LAX's page views
through the roof
exploded. Yeah.
There's no doubt.
You think?
There's no doubt they did. Any publicity is good publicity, and they got it last night by tagging Kanye.
I mean, I'm killing it in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. When I saw that, I was like, this has to be a joke. And he kept tweeting. He tweeted like twice about it.
Oh,
he was like, he clearly he believed it.
Yes, he did. No doubt he did.
Unbelievable. Who's next?
Let's go to Jordan.
Jordan, how are you, Jordan?
And so once you pay for it that way, I can get you.
All right, hang up, Jordan. I appreciate the call. Listen, I love Jordan, but like, we're getting him in his work right now.
Yeah.
Environment, you know,
or is that just his shtick that he calls him with every day?
And I don't think it is a shtick because I feel like he's sincere. But like we're gonna have to put some rules. Like Jordan's gonna have to call when he's not working at the college. Yeah. I think that's who's next.
Take a break.
How about Rick from One Tree Hill?
Rick, how are you, Rick?
Hey, Matt. My buddy Chris, my mailman, was down there Saturday for the Mississippi State game, and he brought you a package. It should be in your office. Bunch of DVDs.
Okay.
And
are they One Tree Hill DVDs?
No, they're movies that were shot here in Johnson County in Paintsville. Our website only lists passenger pigeons when you did your virtual tour, and I wanted to let you guys see stuff that has been shot here. There's six or seven movies.
Well, I look forward to it. I don't have it yet, but I'll go in the office after the show and see what we got.
Yeah, he was supposed to give it to Chris, your manager, but he gave it to some girl. She said you'd get it.
I'll look for it. Rick, what else you got?
Okay, you guys were talking about Kentucky eulogy. My agent tried to get me audition for that. Hillbilly, I'm sorry. I always say
Hillbilly Elegy, not Kentucky Eulogy. That would be a different. That would be a different. A different movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's not dead yet until you see it, and then you can figure it out.
So you were not able to get on the film.
No, they wanted to send me down to Georgia, being an extra, and I didn't want to go that route because, you know. That's going back to where you started out as an extra.
Yeah, you're a big star. You don't go to Georgia to be an extra. You're a big star. There's no reason for that. I understand.
Well, I'm not a big star. I'm an actor. I meant to tell you, in the letter, when you find it, and Shannon, by the way, has an extra large JFK 50 miles shirt in that box.
That ought to fit, yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. Nice.
But I was on One Tree Hill set, playing a police officer in a school shooting, and the lady's putting makeup on, and I had to ask her, you know, who's your worst actress you ever dealt with? She goes, easy, Andy Griffiths. I go, what?
No.
She goes, yeah.
Andy Griffiths!
No.
That's what she said. Matlock said he would come in, and she'd say, morning, Mr. Griffiths, and he would just, you know, stare off
I appreciate the call,
Andy
Rick.
Griffiths.
I have to tell you now, I mean, we found out Aunt B was mean. Now you're saying Andy's mean.
I don't want to hear about it.
That's why I guess they didn't get along.
You're
they
telling me there was
pains
some,
in the rear.
Yeah. Infidelity.
Are you going to say that? Yeah, you're going to say you. Next thing you know, was Goober a terrorist? Like, what's happened? Like, how's this working?
I thought Mayberry was a great town.
I did too. It seemed like who knew that as soon as the cameras went off,
I bet Floyd was cheating on his taxes too.
Yeah, the hall. Are you kidding me? I mean, the unbelievable. All of these stories that we're finding out.
You think you know somebody?
I always thought that that Betty Lou had problems, but I had no idea about the rest of them.
I thought Ernest T. Bass was the worst part of Mayberry.
Oh, no, he was the nice guy.
Yeah.
He was Ernest T. Bass. I remember, I think I've told this before, but my friend Duncan told me that in Hopkinsville once they had a baseball game, and they brought out Ernest T. Bass to throw the first rock.
No, they didn't.
What?
That is awesome.
Instead of the first pitch, he went out there and threw a rock.
Messes wildly.
That's right. So, I mean, I've always appreciated Ernest T for that. Can you imagine if somebody asked you, come on to Hopkinsville, we're going to have you throw the first rock.
That's awesome.
What do you give a man to come all the way to Hopkinsville and do that?
A rock?
$250. Same as winning the watermelon seed spitting contest. Who's next?
Will.
Will, how are you, Will?
Good. It's my twin and mine's birthday today, so I'm driving up to Clemson to eat lunch with her. So, and we're going to FaceTime our mom since she can't be here, and we're going to eat with her and my other siblings, and we're going to eat a little lunch.
Well, that's very nice. He's going to have FaceTime lunch with his mom. That's sweet.
Yep, and my dad. And so that'll be cute. But I have someone on the Kentucky football team who told me that
you don't know anyone on the Kentucky football team.
Yeah,
Will, you don't know it. You don't know anybody on the Kentucky football team.
He's from the upstate of South Carolina. Also.
Well, now you're going to tell us who it is at that point. Like, by the way, you just pretend. I mean, we can't have that many people from upstate of South Carolina. All right, well, what did he tell you?
He said that Terry is the better one, but look for them to both be on the field at the same time versus Tennessee at some point. Kind of like what Ole Miss
did. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Shannon. Ryan's face. Ryan made a face like he knew this.
No, I didn't know this.
Okay.
I swear I didn't.
All right, so let me – here's the thing. If we get plays, Drew, with Terry and Joey Gatewood on the field at the same time, that's a Will called it situation, isn't it?
Absolutely, for sure. A little upstate South Carolina special here.
I think we call it Will
and
upstate.
I'm off the Joey Gatewood train right now.
Oh, because you say your friend on the team believes Terry's better.
Well, he doesn't need to throw to receivers who can't get open. I couldn't even throw to those guys. You got to get open. You got to be SEC speed receivers out there. And, I mean, it's not all Terry's fault. But
listen, you're getting reasonable, Will. I appreciate it. Well, enjoy your birthday, your sister's birthday. I appreciate the call. Interesting. So you like the idea. Hey, it would seem to me, actually, that having Joey Gatewood and Terry Wilson on the field at the same time is something that could work.
If Joey Gatewood can get open and catch a ball, I'm all for it.
Oh, you want him playing wide receiver?
Why not? He's as athletic as he is. If he can catch the football, put him out there.
Yeah. Catch the baseball.
Right, give him a baseball, a basketball.
By the way, speaking of catching the baseball, this Altuve thing is becoming fascinating. He made another error. He can't throw anymore.
See, it's all his head.
Three errors in three games and all terrible on easy throws.
Yep.
He can't throw.
Yep, it's all
That doesn't happen in other sports. Why do you think it happens in baseball?
It's a yip. You know, it's upstairs, man.
Did you see the throw last night? He had, like, just a little toss to second base for a double play, and he threw it, bounced it, and threw it like.
I don't know what gets in the guys' heads that they just can't. It's all mental. It's strictly mental.
That is fascinating to me. Yeah. I mean, the baseball player who can't throw anymore.
Uh-huh. A pretty routine thing they've been doing forever.
That is fascinating to me how that happens.
After they've done it since they were 5 years old playing peewee baseball.
You remember it happened to David Duvall in golf.
Yeah.
He couldn't swing anymore. Uh-huh. Just he says he just woke up one day and couldn't swing anymore.
Yep.
This is karma for Altuve, though. I mean, he was the one who was cheating. He's the one that had
He was
device.
The one who was cheating.
Uh-huh. Yep. So,
interesting, though, just that you just can't. Did you see him? He was like hitting his head, like Chris Farley when you do those interviews.
Stupid,
he was just hitting
stupid.
That's what he was doing last night. He was just hitting his head. Like, what am I doing? If 502-571-1080. When it comes to the insurance, you need to make sure you have the right coverage at the lowest rate possible. That's why I recommend visiting TrustedChoice.com. If you own a business and need insurance for it, or if you're just a customer, whether it's life, home, or auto, check out TrustedChoice.com, and they will pair you up with what you need. An independent insurance agent researches multiple carriers to find the plan that's right for you. Go visit TrustedChoice.com. We'll take a break. Come back. It's KSR.
More of the KSR Blue Lights across the Bluegrass County by County virtual tour presented by the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety after this. To talk to Matt Jones and the crew, call the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line at 502-571-1080 or 1-877-904-1080.
Now for more news on the Blue, Kentucky Sports Radio on Talk Radio 1080.
Welcome back, Kentucky Sports Radio. 502-571-1080. Troy writes and says, I used to work in North Carolina. It was well known that Andy Griffith was a bit of a diva and difficult to work with.
I don't want to hear it. I just don't. It's going to completely ruin my thought of how he was in real life. I want to think
one person writes,
nice guy.
Next thing we're going to find out, Ellie Walker was selling Oxycontin out of her drugstore. Might happen.
Didn't you say that Aunt B and Andy made up on her deathbed or something?
I think that was I think that's right. But Aunt B was notoriously
hard to work
mean.
With.
Yeah. Yes.
Like could it be that Andy was mean first and she was just being
well, maybe they were both mean. I mean, maybe this is like a Oasis Brothers thing, like Noel and Liam Gallagher, and they're just both impossible to work with.
You need to make up
it
and
sure didn't come
Wonderwall.
Across on the show.
Yeah, but exactly. But Oasis produced great songs. Aunt B and Andy produce a great television show, even though they're both very difficult.
I don't like it.
Andy Griffith, just in all of his acting roles, always came across as just this great, fun-loving guy.
He was in Andy Griffith and Matlock.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, didn't he would just like be on like Love Boat and all these other
Love
shows?
Love Boat. When was he on Love Boat?
I bet he was on Love Boat.
You just throw out Love Boat. You remember a big Andy Griffith Love Boat scene?
Everybody seems like during that era was always on Love Boat.
I don't feel like he was on Love
or
Boat.
Or Fantasy Island.
I don't think he was on that either. I think you're just saying he wasn't on the Cosby Show. I don't think he was on Leave It to Beaver. You can't just name shows and assume he's on it.
Yeah. Family Matters.
Hollywood Squares.
People do love Matlock. I will say that.
Oh yes.
Old people love some Matlock.
Until everyone finds out that he was a jerk.
What do you think about Dan Mullen? So Dan Mullen comes out Saturday and says, look, we need to have 90,000 fans at this game. It's ridiculous. And then it comes out yesterday that 19 of his players have COVID.
Yeah, they've shut down all football operations in Florida.
Very good chance that game gets canceled today.
Right now, it's still on as of right now.
Yeah, they
right?
said they were going to announce today.
Second team.
They said there were five, but there are reports from the equivalents of KSR in Florida that they think it's 19.
19? Well, that's the second SEC team in a week now. It's been hit. Vandy
well, Missouri
and
Vandy are canceled.
Right.
Yeah. You talk about a game that no one cares about. Missouri-Vandy got canceled and no one even noticed it. I mean, like, I didn't even know until in a story about Dan Mullen it said Missouri-Vandy got canceled. Had you heard that?
I think I saw it on a website called KSR.
Oh, well, I missed it. Yeah. But, you think that's karma for Dan Mullen?
Maybe it is. He was wanting to fill up the swamp. Said it was not fair. We went down to Texas A&M, and they had a full stadium. And it
by the way, I went down a rabbit hole I didn't realize. Did you realize that Dan Mullen's wife kisses the players before the game?
Well, we've talked about that.
What?
We've talked about
this. Did we talk about it?
Yes, we've talked about this.
I don't think I knew this.
They were getting on the bus, and we had the video of them getting on the bus.
Yeah, that's right. We did. You're right, Shannon.
Yep.
They're getting on a bus, and she would kiss them all.
That's how they get.
No, this wasn't like last week. This is like
no wonder they have 19 positive tests.
You think she's the super spreader?
Yeah, no.
Shannon's right about that. But what about? I mean, that has to be like one of those, dude. You've got to be better. Watch what you say because you come out and say it, and then 2 days later, your whole team has it.
Well, now guys. You make him play with whatever players he has, and say we'll pack the stadium and watch you lose if you want to pack the stadium so bad.
And also, if you remember, Mullen said we have been the example for the nation in COVID compliance.
Oh, did he say that?
Yes. He said, we've done an exemplary job, and 2 days later, 19 guys have it.
Well, they're shut down right now. No, all football operations completely
shut
down.
You know, and they play LSU. They play LSU. So that's a big game. By the way, I would watch, just as a heads up, you know, our game Saturday is supposed to be at noon, right?
Right.
I could see a scenario that they move our game to replace Florida LSU on ESPN.
I could see that.
Because Florida LSU is supposed to be at 4. If they cancel that, I could see them moving our game to ESPN and us playing at 4 instead of noon.
I could see that.
Because they're going to have to put something on there.
Uh-huh.
And the SEC Network has already done that with a couple other games. Where, like, I think Alabama, Ole Miss got pushed back because of it. So just a heads up, there is a world in which that game gets moved to 4 and is on ESPN.
I don't see how Florida can play this weekend. If they're not even practicing yesterday, today, and they've got 19 kids out.
Shut down yesterday, shut down today, 19 kids out. If you do play, you're not going to be that good, are you?
Could mean a lot to our SEC East race.
Oh, now all of a sudden LSU, you know.
Although LSU's horrible.
Yeah, but I mean, Florida, we don't know which 19 players have it.
Yeah.
Right? If it's 19 starters.
Makes a difference.
Or 19 quarterbacks. Well, I don't think they have 19 quarterbacks.
Only Kentucky has 19 quarterbacks.
Who's up next?
Let's go to Bob.
Bob, how are you, Bob?
I'm good. Good to see you today.
Nice talking to you.
Outlaw on an episode of The Lone Ranger.
Who was?
Aunt B was an outlaw on an episode of The Lone Ranger.
She was an outlaw.
Wow.
Really. She was an outlaw.
Aunt B was an outlaw.
Outlaw. That's where she gets her meanness.
Wow. I did not know that.
I have a question. The athletes participating in basketball or the indoor sports, have we looked into the air handling of those units or buildings? That could it be increased to help their safety?
So there was – that's a very good question. There is a company – didn't we just talk about this other day with somebody, Drew? Was it me and you? There's a company that has basically been formed to study airflow in arenas, et cetera, to advise teams on exactly what you're saying, Bob, on how to make airflow better. Oh, I know who it was. I'm sorry. Rachel's doing a story about it in her journalism thing. So – and this, there are companies that are literally going across the country and – teaching, like, arenas what they can do to make it safer. I don't know, Bob, if Rupp has done it, but there are companies that are doing that for colleges and high schools to try to make it to where if you have fans indoors, it's you know, not as dangerous.
Well, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much. Last time I seen you was the blind squirrel.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I remember. Yeah, that's right. Well, I appreciate the call. You know, We talk about this a lot, but at Rupp, I mean, the fact is there are older fans. Do you think, considering it's indoors, do you think if you're UK, you say, hey, any fan can come if they want as long as they wear a mask? Or do you say, I don't know about having fans that are, you know, because there are a lot older fans that come to basketball than football.
Well, I got to tell you, this is outdoors, but I was pretty surprised by the average age at the football game Saturday. There were a lot more older folks than I expected
really?
To see. Yes. I know that's different. You're not putting them inside.
I don't think, by the way, legally they can keep older folks out. As at a state institution, I don't think you can do that.
You know, we had to sign waivers at some of these AAU basketball tournaments when we went into these arenas. They did. They made us sign a waiver.
Yeah. They may do that, but you know, I've seen people online suggesting, well, make it fans 65 and under. I don't think you can do that. I just think legally, I don't think you're allowed to do that.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be seen as, from a state institution, as age of discrimination.
Yeah,
I don't think you can do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they would be doing it to try to help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I just don't think you can. Do you worry? I mean, like, in all honesty, do you worry about having our fans indoors, considering who normally is at Rupp?
I think so. I think you have to. I think, you know, you're just going to have to – they're going to have to just spread the seats out and do the social distancing.
And also, if you have 3,000 people, a lot of them are going to have to sit upstairs.
Yes.
Which ain't a very good seat. The only good thing about being upstairs in this is you finally get to spread out and you're not, like, on top of each other.
Right.
Like,
that's exactly what they're
going to have. Can I ask you a question? I noticed in the baseball game yesterday, when they have fans, they have them all sit behind each other. You know what I'm saying? In, like, almost columns. Is that the way to do that?
You'd think they would zigzag it.
It feels like they should zigzag it, but they don't. They have they create columns so that you have a person right in front of you and a person behind you. How's that better?
Well, if someone's spitting out, you have your back to them, so you're not catching anything.
But I still feel like it would be better not to be directly behind them, but to be like a few
I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, clear. That's what they're doing, though, in a lot of these stadiums. We'll take a break. Come back. Hour number two, Montgomery County today.